From lengthening mascara to smoky eyes, complete your fall look with Thrive Cosmetics. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive, CAUSEMETICS.com/cozy.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Probably one of the hardest things any family can hear and have to deal with is a brain tumour diagnosis in a child. And it's something you're going to hear a lot about this week. It is Brain Tumour Awareness Week. Valerie Martin is with me on the line today because, Valerie, this is something that you and your family had to go through with your son, Billy.
Hi, Andrea. Yes, that's correct. Yeah. So Billy's our teenage son. He's 17. He was diagnosed with a tumour called a bifocal germinoma. On the 31st of March this year, we live in the southeast of Ireland, and we were travelling up and down to Crumlin for the last couple of years when symptoms started to appear in his younger years, and we were eventually referred on to Crumlin. So yeah, it was, you know, initially what initially started out to be symptoms of excessive thirst and excessive bathroom. And then came along some hormone deficiencies. We never thought that, you know, the underlying cause would actually be a brain tumour.
So it was yeah. Something as simple as just constant sort of, you know, excessive thirst and going to the toilet frequently, Valerie. And that they
exactly,
were
exactly, yeah,
right,
yeah. So they were the things that were highlighted to us, I suppose, alerted to us when he was a good bit younger. My mum, like lots of Irish grandmothers, looked after Billy when he was younger, when we were going to work, and she highlighted it to me that, you know, he was drinking an awful lot, and it was something that flagged to her because my dad has type 2 diabetes, and I suppose that was the first thing that came to mind.
You thought it might have been that.
And we had him, exactly, yeah, and we had him checked with our GP, and that's what they tested him for, was diabetes, but everything came back clear. And a little while later then, I suppose, we noticed, but didn't put it, you know, hand in hand with this, but that when he came to the ages of, say, 10, 11, 12, while his peers were kind of having their growth spurts and you'd see changes in them at that age, you know, his wasn't coming about. And we went to our doctor about that as well. And they did say, you know, come back if he hasn't started, you know, the changes that most boys do, you know, start to see in around the early teens. Come back around the age of 14. And it was at that point then that we were referred to our doctor in Wexford, our paediatrician in Wexford.
Okay.
So it turned out the two things were kind of related, were very much related. And there were hormone deficiencies. Growth hormone was one. And another was a hormone called AVP, which it tells your kidneys to, from my very basic understanding, it tells your kidneys basically to hold on to whatever liquids you need in your body and then dump the rest. He wasn't producing that, and therefore he was dumping everything that went in. It all made sense, obviously, at that point.
Yeah.
But so we were referred to Crumlin and to the endocrinology department of Crumlin, who looks after everything hormone related. Again, you know, this was the path that we were going on. We never expected that. It didn't take too long, and oncology was being mentioned. So they did diagnose him with these multiple hormone deficiencies. And as part of the investigations, they did lots and lots of checks and tests, one of which was an MRI of the brain. And it showed that his pituitary gland, which produces these hormones, was slightly thickened. So they continued to monitor that for the next 2 years.
Okay.
We were up and down to Crumlin for MRIs every 3 months.
The constant up and down the road. And how manageable, ultimately, Valerie, how manageable was Billy's condition?
So the underlying conditions, I suppose, the hormone deficiencies, we were able to, you know, you can replace hormones with various different treatments. So the growth hormone is the daily injection. The AVP deficiency, he was able to take a tablet. He's now taking a tablet every day, which basically replaces what he isn't producing. So it made a massive improvement to his lifestyle
to get
from the get-go. So that was a great improvement. But we still didn't have an answer as to, you know, what was caught, you know, why these deficiencies were there. So.
Sharon Maguire is with us too, Valerie. Stay with us for a moment. Sharon is Sharon. You're mum to Jaden. What was your experience?
Hi. I think my experience was completely different, just in a sense of Jaden had no pre-warning signs whatsoever. It was literally just a Sunday afternoon. He started getting sick, and my sister, he was down playing in my sister's house, and he was still out playing football with his friends and everything, and it got late and he got sick again. So I said to my sister, look, bring him home. And we were car sharing at the time. And I said, I'll just keep the car tonight just in case he gets any worse. I just had a feeling something was off. And she lived like 2 minute drive from my house. So I drove her home. I came back up and my husband said to me, he's after getting sick again. And he was sitting on airbed and he was just totally spaced. He just didn't look right. So we just threw him in the car straight away and we ran over to Our Lady's. Now, thankfully, we're in Ballyfermot, so we're very close to Crumlin Hospital. So we had him over there in a matter of 10, 15 minutes, and he was pushed straight away on oxygen. His oxygen levels were really low. So it was literally just a case he was fine 1 minute and extremely sick the next. And even at that, the hospital weren't thinking brain tumour. He was showing all the signs of an infection. So they started him on antibiotics straight away. But when he was in there, he kind of started hallucinating, what we thought were hallucinations, but they actually turned out to be seizures. They're called deja vu seizures. So he was, in his mind, he was seeing memories of what had happened during the day. But to me, because I hadn't been with him when he was with my sister, what he was talking about wasn't making sense to me. And he was seeing people walking around the room, but there were these memories that were playing in his brain. And it turned out, yeah, they were actually seizures. So it was at that point they decided to do a CT scan and something had showed up. But again, they still didn't think it was a brain tumour. Mm-hmm. They thought like it was an infection or something like that. And eventually they did the MRI scan a couple of days later.
And you got the diagnosis.
Yeah, it was a 5 centimetre tumour in his right temporal lobe. So thankfully benign. It was a benign tumour, but it was literally just so quick, so sudden. And unexpected.
And then it was probably, was it surgery and treatment after that, Sharon?
Yeah, because they were able to tell, kind of looking at the scans, that it was more than likely a benign tumour. So we were referred to Temple Street then for surgery, given the size of it. Like, the type of tumour that Jaden has can be monitored over time. It doesn't always need surgery. But because his was so large and it was obviously... He developed epilepsy as a result of it. They needed to do the surgery. So that November then, he was taken into Temple Street for surgery and the tumour was removed successfully. Yeah. I think there's about 3% left behind. It was near very, near blood vessels that they didn't really want to go near it. Yeah. So there's about 3% left behind, but it's a very low chance of regrowth. So it's okay for that to stay there.
So it's sort of back to normal life, Sharon, now for Jaden then.
Yeah, we're 2 years maybe 2 years November since the surgery, right. So things are finally starting to come around. He was weaned off all his epilepsy medication. He's just back to being his happy-go-lucky self, thankfully. It'll be, at the minute, it's MRIs every 6 months.
Okay, just keeping
an MRI
a check on
this week. Yeah, he actually has his 6 month checkup this week. He has an MRI in this week. And then it'll be yearly then until probably for the rest of his life. Though.
What age is Jaden?
An eye on it. He's 10 now, so he was 8 at the time.
Young. Dr. John Card is with us too, Sharon. John's a neurosurgeon. I suppose like the thing you take from listening to Sharon and Valerie, John, today, there's so many elements to this. Like, very difficult for parents to know what sort of signs or symptoms to look out for.
Indeed, Andrea. So what the parents have so eloquently said there is how different and challenging it can be for parents and for grandparents, for medical professions indeed, to pin down symptoms to one particular cause. And, you know, they could be very nebulous or sort of long drawn out history, or it can be a very sudden acute history like the second parent there. So it can be very hard even for doctors and nurses in a hospital to pin these things down. It's often only when the scan is done that the penny drops and we realise there's something at work here.
Do symptoms always present, John?
Well, eventually they will, yes.
Okay.
So it can be things like an epileptic fit can give you sort of an early warning sign, or it can be a blockage of fluid called hydrocephalus, water buildup on the brain causing headaches and vomiting, or it can be something as early on, as non-specific as early onset puberty, things like that. So there's a whole variety of different symptoms that can play, in, particularly in children with brain tumours, and they're rare. They're not common. So we see about 55 new tumours a year in Ireland. So it's not common. It's not like asthma or the other common medical conditions. So it is rare, but they do happen. And one thing we had noticed, the reason that the Brain Tumour Ireland group have very wisely sought to introduce greater awareness amongst people is that there's people have had to present time and time again to the emergency department to eventually get a brain scan. And then obviously it's very clear what's going on.
And it's funny, I was about to just read a text from a listener here, John, listening to Valerie and Sharon today, who says, my 3-month-old baby actually had a little flicker in his eye. I brought him to Crumlin Hospital. I pushed for an MRI scan and it turned out that he had a brain tumour. So is it the kind of thing that... if parents like that are up and down to A&E, that should you try and demand or look for scans to get this examined?
Presenting again and again, the question must arise in parents and carers and in medical professionals. You know, could this be a brain tumour? Could it be in the differential diagnosis here? And are we missing something? For example, repeated headaches in somebody going back to hospital, because nobody likes going to hospital. So, if somebody's ill enough to be brought to hospital, certainly again and again, then we we're not getting a satisfactory answer. It's probably not migraine. Well, it could be migraine, but we should look further.
So that's in relation, I suppose, to trying to get a diagnosis. How are we in terms of treatment and management of treatment, John, in Ireland?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're very lucky here. We've got an excellent neurosurgical group here at CHI Temple Street and a paediatric oncology group in Crumlin, and hopefully we'll be merging soon under the roof of the new hospital next year. But the patients receive state of the art care that they would receive in any major first world city in the world. So I think there's no deficiencies in our treatment. Mm-hmm. Obviously, for some patients who have, say, a highly malignant brain tumour, for example, that can be a very challenging journey for patients and their families. And thankfully, they're not the commonest type. But those who have, perhaps an incurable condition, it can be very difficult for them, even with all the treatments available, that the outcome for some may not be as good as those that we've heard.
Oh, it's very, very difficult. You've been thinking of those families, and many of them have been with us here in Lunchtime Live over the years, sharing those stories and experiences. Valerie, the support services, that you and your family got with Billy during this period, do you feel there was enough support there for you?
Absolutely, yeah. The minute we arrived at Crumlin, we just couldn't believe. I suppose you never know that
never
these things exist until you're there. But there was people coming in and out of the room for the first couple of days that we were in, just saying, this is, this person offers this and this person offers that. And you're given a folder with all of the information that you can access. And then there's charities on the ward, given... like a clown doctor comes in once or twice a week and gives a little bit of a little bit of a
boost, I suppose.
Exactly.
To kids,
yeah. But there's things like there's a charity just popped into my mind called Keane's Kennels it's on site up there, that if a family arrives up and they've got dogs at home, they'll go and collect the dogs and bring them up and keep them and mind them there for as long as the child is in hospital.
As well as the
services that are offered by our own system, the charities out there are equally.
Yeah, as good.
I was just going to
mention that, because braintumorireland.com, where listeners will be able to get more information, they're launching their campaign as well for this week up until the 26th of October. And this is with regards to kind of brain tumours and support services, particularly for children and teenagers that are diagnosed. I know they have different webinars and events taking place, and you can get more information at braintumorireland.com. Valerie and Sharon, listen, thanks a million to you both for sharing your stories with us today about Billy and Jaden on the programme. We appreciate your time. The email's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Cozy traditions feel good, especially this time of year. And that includes changing up your makeup look for fall. From lashes for days with the Viral Liquid Lash Extension Mascara to enhancing a smoky eye with your favorite shade of Brilliant Eye Brightener. Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for completing every fall look. Whether you want a simple just gotta get out the door routine or fall glam that wows from the office to all your favorite fall festivities, you'll always look and feel radiant with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. And for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. So every time you use your favorite Thrive Cosmetics product, you're helping communities you care about, too. Complete your fall look. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/cozy.